I wanted to discuss an interesting minhag that I imagine we all saw in the Rambam with the Torah, and which is practiced at a number of Sephardi weddings. It's Hashem, a couple of months, Shlomo's wedding. We'll be having this bracha of the Besamim, to which the Rambam writes in Hilchos Ishus that the Yesh Nagu, they're those who have Yesh Makomo Shenagu, there are certain places that have the practice, the Havi Hadasim Hayayin, to bring the Hadasim with the wine. Mivarech al Hadas Achar Yayin, you first make the bracha Agafen, then, or a gefen, and then you make the bracha of hadasim, and besamim, and then you make the six brachas. So, what exactly is the basis of such a minhag, and what's the reason for the minhag? And the source for the minhag goes back, apparently, the Vujraham brings from Rav Sadigo, and that it dates back to there. I couldn't find any sources earlier, but it's a well-established minhag. Now, the Rambam doesn't bring this inyan of hadasim by the bris milah, even though the Mechaber does. Chaber brings it by Bismillah, doesn't bring it by Nisun. But we see this inyan exists by other areas outside of Havdalah. We all think Havdalah is the only time that we say at least some level of a Chiv, even though it's not really a Chiv. We're not Mehader after Besamim by Havdalah, but there's an inyan of Besamim certainly by Havdalah. So somehow this Minog extends itself to a Chasana and perhaps Bismillah as well. So what's the point? Now, when you look at this, it's interesting why the Rambam uses Hadas. Why doesn't he say Hadasim? In maybe one Hadas, I don't know exactly what the Minhag was. And why does he use Hadasim as the only example? Why not Besamim? If you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, he says Besamim overall. Lav Dafka Hadasim. Secondly, since it's such a Minhag, it's strange, certainly in light of last week's Chabura, of Yossi's Chabura, that you put Hadasim between the Brach of Hagafen and the other Brachos. If it's just to say a nice bracha under the chuppah, so it shouldn't be in between the hagafen and the sheish brachos of the shavu brachos. Now certainly we'd like to do things al hakos always, so the hagafen's always first, everything's afterwards, but if it's really connected to the other shavu brachos, to put hadasim in between, sandwiched between hagafen and the other six brachos is a very strange thing. Sounds like it's something more fundamental, and that's Rambam thinks hagafen is completely separate from the other brachos, which might be referred to last week's drasha. So what's this inyan of the Besamim Hadasim? So again, Havdalah is the place where you should look at, I think, to see as a source why we say the bracha Besamim at Havdalah. So we all know most of the basic sources, but I'll go through the basic sources and see why this doesn't apply to a chasana. So the Rashbam is the first place where everyone starts with, in terms of the Nisham Yaseira, that this is found in Pesachim and Kuv Beis and Merbeis. The halacha of Yak Nahaz and saying Besamim and Shabbos Yantif. So the question is, so we don't say Besamim from Shabbos into Yantif, but why don't we say Besamim when Yantif is over? So the Rashbam writes that Lefi she'ein mevarchna Besamim b'yantif, sharei gam b'yantif yesh lanu neshama yisera k'shabbos. So that's the Rashbam. There is a neshama yisera. It doesn't leave us. But the Indian is when it does leave us. So then we say bracha and Besamim because it's supposed to somehow bring the neshama back. We're not really bringing the neshama back. We're really just to satisfy the neshama that's been lost, the neshama within the body, from losing the extra neshama. Now, Tosos takes issue with this, because Tosos says, well, if that's the case, so if there's also neshama yisera on yantif, so imkein b'matzah yantif amaylo takinu b'samim. So why isn't there a b'samim after yantif? So Tosos says, there is no neshama yisera on yantif. Leka neshama yisera. And the reason why we don't make a besamim Shabbos into Yantif is because the achil and shusia is moel kimo besamim. It serves the same function. It satisfies the body from losing the extra neshama. Some say, no, there is a neshama yaseira on Yantif. We just don't lose the neshama yaseira on Yantif. It stays with us. Now, this certainly doesn't apply to a chasana. I would hope not. We don't lose the neshama yaseira as you're walking down the chuppah, and we need to be satisfied with the loss of a neshama yaseira. So that wouldn't be nogeya to under the chuppah. The Tosos in Beya and Lamed Gimel Beis gives a number of other reasons why we say the bracha besamim on Leil Shabbos, on Matzah Shabbos. So he says, because it's related to the Eish, the Gehenim, is maschil lisrofu lasriach, begins to burn, and it smells bad, and therefore we have to say the bracha besamim to overcome that the fragrance, or the terrible odor of Matzah Shabbos, of the Gehenim. But Kishechal Yomtif and Matzah Shabbos, when Yantif is right after Shabbos, Ein Ha'esh Maschil Lissov, it doesn't burn, the Gehenim doesn't begin at that point, and therefore there's no Besamim at that point. But this also has nothing to do with, we don't think, we hope not, the Chuppah is not about the Gehenim opening up, so it's not the Gehenim, it's not about Neshama Yisera that's being lost, we would hope. So neither of these explanations would explain why one would say a Besamim under the Chuppah and connected to the Sheva Brachos. So there's not that much material here, but I was just looking into the Rambam a little bit. I had the Rambam here before on Hilchos Shabbos. Maybe someone did a tova, put it back for me. Someone cleans up the basement, maybe. So the Rambam writes, his definition, his understanding of why we have Besamim on Matzei Shabbos in general is very different than what all the other Shonim explain about there being a Nesham Yisera, or about the Gehenim beginning to burn. So the Rambam writes at the end of Perek Chavtes of Hilchos Shabbos, he raises the question, this is the final halacha of Perek Chavtes. Lama mevarachin al besamim b'motzei Shabbos. Why do we say the bracha on besamim? Mipnei she'anefesh do'eves li'yitzias Shabbos. Misamchin oso miyashin oso b'reach tov. Now, the Rambam never dealt with anything that mystical, it seems. Neshama Yisera sounds quite mystical. So there's not a question of whether Rambam knew this or didn't know this stuff, but it sounds like he's not referring to a Neshama Yisera that left the body, but just the nefesh. It's just Shabbos ends, and it's like Monday morning blues or Sunday night blues of starting the work day, the work week. So that's the Shabbos over. Now we have to clean up the house and get working. So the guys are a little sad. So the besamim somehow is mesamech the lev. So this might be somewhat of an explanation as to why there is a bracha besamim underneath the chuppah. Not that people are losing your neshama or because the eish of Gehenim is beginning to burn, but because it's a very serious night. It's a serious day, a serious night. It's a scary moment in a person's life. And to kind of balance that, to keep the spirit of the day, of the simcha, you need a besamim to wake the guy up, to wake the girl up, to overcome the seriousness that they're feeling. So this is the thought I had. So I looked around a little bit, and I found that the Divrei Yatziv talks about this inyan. He doesn't quote this Rambam, but he develops this similar idea of how it doesn't make any sense that there's going to be besamim under the chuppah for all the reasons we just mentioned. So he develops the idea, without quoting this Rambam, that the inyan of hadasim in general is an inyan of simcha. That's the concept. And I'm just suggesting it's there to counterbalance the serious mode, the serious mentality that the chassan and kala are going through at that moment. So the one raya he brings is the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Yud Zayin. And the Gemara there explains that Amru Allah, they said about Rabbi Huda Bar Ilai, Shehaya no tel bad shel hadas umirake lefnei akala v'omer kala noa v'chasuda. So he dafka took hadas, one hadas, and he'd use it to dance in front of the kala to make her happy because it's an inyan of simcha. Hadasim somehow represents an inyan of simcha. And that's why at Bris Mila there's also an inyan of simcha that of course is part of a larger machlokas, whether there is really a simcha at Bris Mila, but he brings a raya that the reason why the Mechaber brings it down is because to make a bracha of hadasim is because there's simcha at a Bris Mila. And that's in line with the Shulchan Aruch Paskins to say Shechayanu at a Bris Mila, which again, the simple pshat is because there's simcha at a Bris Mila, but there are other ways to explain why to say Shechayanu at a Bris Mila. And he uses this also to explain why Leil Shabbos, this inyan, you know, in the shul we have, and in the Sfarim they have hadasim, to say brachas on. It's brought down by the Arizal, the Magen Avraham brings this down as well, because Leil Shabbos, there's an inyan of simcha as well, and hadasim bring about simcha. Parenthetically, there's a big discussion whether there exists simcha. Most think that there's no simcha by Shabbos, it's an inyan of Oneg and Kavod Shabbos. There is no simcha. There is a Torah Tmima on the Pasuk Vayechulu, he brings a whole list of Mar Makomos where there is simcha at Shabbos. It works differently than simcha on Yantif, but there is an inyan of simcha. There's Yushalmi that says there's simcha by Shabbos. So that's why there's hadasim Friday night as well, because hadasim represent simcha. And this he also explains another din in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Mila. So Hilchas Mila, the Mechaber writes that on Tisha B'Av Asa, which is hadasim, Asa nami lo maisinim. We don't bring hadasim out if the Bris Mila falls out on Tisha B'Av. And why not? Because he says mitayim adayim mevarachin al besamim b'matzei Shabbos shechal bal Tisha B'Av. What happens in a year like this year? We had Tisha B'Av, Shabbos was led right into Tisha B'Av. We didn't say Besamim. because we don't say, but we don't do a samim on Tisha B'Av. So too, a bris milah is chal on Tisha B'Av, so a Sephardi wouldn't say a bracha b'samim, at least according to the Mechaber. I don't know how they pass here in Halach L'maisa, but the Mechaber says that they should not say bracha b'samim on a milah that's chal on Tisha B'Av. So the Shach here writes that because the Reach is a Tanug, and we don't want to have any Tanug on Tisha B'Av. So according to this, the Shach says that Shiyehe Aser B'chol Tisha B'Av La'Reach B'Besamim. Zelo Shemanu. If the real Tam is because a Tanug goes against the Inin of a Tisha B'Av, so then he says we shouldn't smell things all day long. So that's what the Shach says. So what the Fleisenberg explains is that, no, I don't have it in front of me. My computer is not connected to the Wi-Fi, so I couldn't print it out. So I might be misquoting this. But he explains that the Inyan of Hadassim is an Inyan of Simcha. Yeah, no, it's fine. We'll leave it. Thank you. So the Inyan, he says, is Hadassim is about Simcha, and therefore it would be inappropriate to use it at a Bris Milah, even though in general Bris Milah has an Inyan of Simcha. When it's Chal and Tisha B'Av, that's kind of balanced by the mood of Tisha B'Av, in which case we should not say the bracha of Besamim. Now, he doesn't address, so then you shouldn't be able to say it all day long either because of Simcha. He doesn't address that point, so I don't know how he gets around that. It seems to be the same kasha that the Shach has, but he uses this idea to say Besamim is really about Simcha. So Motei Shabbos, Rambam says we do say Besamim because we're a little sad because the weekday is starting. The work week is starting, so we say Besamim to help raise our hopes, our spirit up a little bit. And so too, that was the explanation why under Chuppah, it's a moment of seriousness, we want to balance that with the Kol Sasam to Kol Simcha. So that's perhaps the explanation as to why we say the bracha of Besamim underneath the Chuppah, and it's connected to the bracha, the whole mood of the Sheva Brachos, of being Mesameach Chasam V'Kala. And that's all I really found in terms of the halacha of this aspect of Besamim. There's really not much more than that. But I think you could say a little deeper, explaining the meaning of Simcha and Sasam when it comes to Hadassim. So there's another interesting halacha under the Chuppah, which Rabbi Yossi explained last week, so I'm not going to go into this, but the Inyan of the Kosh Shel Bracha, the Kosh Shel Yayin, which according to some Rishonim is Li'ikuva. So Rabbi Yossi explained because that's the seventh bracha. You need seven brachas. So you need, without the Kosh Shel Yayin, you don't have the seventh bracha, and therefore it's Li'ikuva. But perhaps in Panemius, and I saw afterwards that Rav Kluger explains that it's an Inyan of Eitz Hadas and an Inyan of Adam and Chava. And that's why the yayin is so crucial to be there at the chuppah. So that could be the explanation of the hadassim as well, because that also very much connects to the Eitz Hadas and Adam and Chava. As B'nai Sasra explains that all the five senses, four of the five senses were affected. There was a pagam with eating Eitz Hadas because each one was involved in the seeing of the Eitz Hadas and the touching of the Eitz Hadas and the eating of the Eitz Hadas and even the hearing, the voices that were spoken between the Nachash and Adam and Chava, but the one sense that was unaffected was that of the Reach, the Koach HaReach. So it has a special Koach of the Koach HaReach, so when the Chasam and Kala come together under the Chuppah, we're somehow rectifying the initial sin and separations of Gan Eden and Adam and Chava, so that somehow the Hadassim, the Koach HaReach, represents that Inyan. So the Yayin represents the area that was Pagam, the guffin that was eaten, they drank or ate, and the Hadassim represents that which was untouched, was unscathed, unadulterated, and that combination of the Yayin and Hadassim kind of balance each other out under the Chuppah, working to fix the Tikkun of the Yayin, but using the Koach of Hadassim, which is somewhat protected and invincible from the Koach of the Rav, the Yetzirah. So we find, interestingly, that the Gematria of Yayin we know is 70, and the Gematria of Hadass in Makolel is also 70. So that shows some indication and correlation between the two of them. You look to Purim. Purim, of course, is a great fusion of the two coming together, of Yayin and Reach. We don't have to explain how Yayin is connected to Purim. Reach requires some explanation, but Esther herself, we know, was called Hadassah. And Mordechai was Mordor. That's another, right. Mesume, it's Spain. And Mardror is from Mordechai, that's the Makor of Mordechai in the Torah. And the month of Adar, the Sefer Yetzirah writes, is connected to Koach HaReach, the Koach HaSmell. There's a fascinating Leket Yosha, the Talmud of the Chumash Hadeshin, brought down in the Tur in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. We write that, how do you know, what's the source of saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. So it points to Kohen Neshama, that kapitel, where it says Hallel, a haluk of sorts, 12 times in that kapitel. That's connected to 12 times we say Hallel. Now there happens to be a kasha, we only say it 11 times. There's no Hallel Rosh Chodesh in Rosh Hashanah. So some answer no, because really there's a 13-month year, Ibra Shana, then there are 12 times we say it. But Pashup Shad is referring to even in a regular year. And the answer to that is that, in theory, there should be a Hallel in Rosh Chodesh. If Mayamis writes, Lasa Lavo, there will be a Hallel in Rosh Hashanah. Nowadays we don't say it because we're scared what the Yom HaDin is going to bring. But Be'etzem, there really is a Hallel, we should say, but for technical reasons we don't. So there's a Hallel that we say. So he says each Hallelu in the Kippitah is connected to a different month. B'teka Shofar is referring to Elul, where we blow the shofar all month. So the last one, he says, which we repeat, to call Neshama, is the other Rishon, other Sheni, which is repeated on the Ibra Shana. But really, in a deeper level, that's call Neshama is also the source of the bracha of the Reach, the Gemara says. So that connects to Adav. Adav is really call Neshama, which is repeated. That's the pasuk. It's also the source of the bracha of HaReach. So Adav is all about the Koach of HaReach. And Adav is also, the Gemara in Be'a says it's a certain tree that grows, which I assume has fragrance. I don't know enough about this Adav tree. There's another tree, which is a segula that the Gemara talks about. So certainly, a Purim is connected to Reach and Yayin. The Gemara itself says, Yayin v'Reach pikhin. It makes a person smarter, excites them. So we have this same correlation, Havdalah as well. Havdalah, where of course there's a bracha on the Yayin, there's a bracha on the Besamim, and there's also, we say, Lahi d'maisar v'simchav sasmi yikar. We quote a pasuk from Purim, from Megillas Esther. Why? What's that doing there? So of course it's a very special pasuk. It means a lot, but we can find a lot of pesukim, beautiful pesukim in Shir Hashirim and Tehillim throughout Tanakh. But we chose to use a pasuk dafka from Megillas Esther. And there in Hilchos Shabbos in Havdalah, the Mechaber brings down that some have a custom to use hadasim as their besamim. So they bring the Beis Yosef says al piso. There's some Indian. They quote a pasuk to support it. But the Indian is, al piso, maybe, much deeper than what I'm going to suggest, but because Havdalah and Purim are very much related, so that's why we want Hadassim there, because it's the relevance of Hadassim that we're speaking of, the Sasim v'Simcha that Hadassim brings about. So Dafka and Matzah Shabbos, where we're trying to bring the Simcha, like the Shita of the Rambam, so the Hadassim of Purim, which is all about Simcha, that's why we Dafka want to use Hadassim. And that explains also why the Bris Milah, we have Besamim as well, and Yayin for the same reason, because Bris Milah is also a time of Sasan Besimchas. So we have it by Purim, have it by Havdalah, and we have it by Bris Milah, where the Besamim and Yayin come together. So, I don't know if this is true. Certainly Yayin, we know Yayin represents Simcha. I don't know if you could suggest, I didn't have a chance to look at any Rayas, which really means searching my Bar Ilan, if Sasan and Hadassim connect to each other. I think it might, but I don't have any Rayas that it does. But if Yayin is Simcha, maybe you could suggest a Hadassim is connected Sasan. And so what's the difference between Sasan and Simcha? So Simcha is just regular Simcha, joy a person feels. And the Gemara explains what Sasan means based on the Gemara in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos tells us a short Maisa in Daf Lamed Amud Beis, where one time Abaye Haba Yosef Kamed the Rabba, he is one sitting in front of Rabba, and Chazian, he noticed that the Haba Kabadach Tuva, he was very, very happy. He's very, very elated. And he said, how could he be so besimcha? Amar, v'gila beradoksiv, it says there should be a balance between gila and rada. You can never have too much simcha, too much sasan. It has to be balanced properly. And he had a very strange response. The response was that, ana tefillin mancha, I'm putting on tefillin. So what's the hesber that putting on tefillin is a justification for being full of simcha? So the Gra explains because there's a unique type of sasam when it comes to tefillin, he explains. Tefillin is sasam because we have two shins on the shavrosh, and one shin has three branches, the other one has four branches. So it's gimel and dalet of the branches, which is gomel and dalem, when one gives to the poor. Also represents the gimel avos and the dalet imahos, he explains, which are opposites. The Gra says whenever two opposites come together, that's what sasan is. Simcha is just happiness. Yayin is happiness. You're enjoying life. You're enjoying a mitzvah. You're enjoying limud Torah. When you bring two opposites together, three and four, a gimel and dalet, a husband and a wife, a chasan and kala, right hand and left hand clapping, that's what sasan is. That's what the tefillin represents, sasan. And Sason is a higher level than Simcha. Simcha, a person just happy because he's enjoying whatever he's enjoying, that needs to be balanced with Gila Barada. When it comes to Sason, when you take two opposites together, that's something that there's no holding back from. That's the ultimate type of joy in this world. So this Indian of Sason now, based on Tefillin, makes a lot of sense now, because under the Chuppah, which is all about Sason, that's the Indian, the Sason of a Simcha, but Sason is the one of the terms, adjectives used to describe the joy under the Chuppah, because two opposites are coming together, the Chasan and Kala. So it begins with the Chasan and Kala, that's where a relationship begins, the two opposites, which is the greatest Sason. That then leads to a child and a bris mila, which we say, what's the Sason? La'idim ha'isav simchav Sason v'ikar. Sason is mila, because mila also is a manifestation of the two opposites coming together. Great to have a relationship, Chasan and Kala, but to create something with that, and to have a bris mila through that, that's a manifestation of that Sason that was experienced. And then having that child grow to be a bar chiyuva, to put on bar mitzvah, that's even a further manifestation of not just a physical being in the world of gashmius, but to have now a neshama that's chayv in mitzvahs, that's even a greater form of that sasam coming together at the tefillin with the shin and shin on the sharosh. So this inyan of the sasam, at each moment of the chuppah, the bris mila, and at a tefillin, this is really an inyan of sasam and perhaps hadasam. I haven't seen any sources that you should say a brach on hadasim when wearing tefillin, but this seems to be the theme that is really coming together. And that being said, just an interesting final gematria. I know it's a little short here, but there's only so much I could say on this topic. But there's a gematria. If you take the gematria of Yain and Hadas, we said they're both 70. That's the same exact gematria as Adam and Chava. Adam and Chava is also 70, because the Indian of Sasan really together. There must be also, I was working on Ish and Isha, comes very close to Sasan. I think I once had it. I forgot how you work it out. But either way, the Indian of the 70, which is, of course, the seven spheros, the seven lower spheros, and the 70 being the completion of all Zayin Tachtonim, that completion is really when you have the Yayin and the Hadas working together. Because the Yayin takes you to a place, a very deep place, the Neshama, but it's so tricky because the Gemara says that Kol Dibor is Ra for Yayin. Because the dibur, the speech of the nachash, confused how the yain worked. But the Gemara also says that kol is yafa lebesamim. It works for besamim, because besamim can't be affected by any type of kol. So underneath the chuppah, where we're singing kol chasan and kol kala, all the seven kolos that the Gemara's talk about, the psukim talk about, so when you have the yain there, balanced with the hadas, each of those together, and you bridge together adam and chava, completing that, rectifying the tikkun of the eight hadas, then everything comes to a perfect idea of Sason. And with that, we should be Zocha, as we prepare ourselves for Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaDin, which really Be'etzim has the Kisui of the Rosh Chodesh, the Hal, the Simcha that's there. We should lead up to the Chuppah, Yom Chuppasa of Yom HaKippurim, to create the ultimate Sason. Okay. Sorry it was so short, and no one's upset it's short, but...